Hey, y'all, welcome back to the Don't Mom Alone podcast. I'm your host, Heather McFadden, and this is the place where I get to walk alongside you and connect you with people and resources so you know that you don't mom alone. And this week, I am welcoming to the show Erica Gwynn.
It's actually not my job to be enough because somebody else literally hung on a cross to be enough instead. Like, is that enough for you? Because if so, you could be living and thinking totally differently. Like, you, the pressure's off, girl. Like, you don't need to be everything for everybody. And I think moms need to hear that because we, even unintentionally, even subconsciously, it's so easy to slip into, we try to be enough for everybody. And usually it's at the expense of ourselves.
Erica is a mom of two and one on the way. She's a podcaster at Thrive Podcast, and she's an author. She's been writing over at Coming Up Roses, a blog, and also has several books. And one we're going to talk about today is called That's Just Not True. So often in motherhood, we have tasks and they can be overwhelming. But on top of that, we have the mental load, the burden of all of these things we've been believing, oftentimes lies, lies about missing out, lies about not about being enough. And so today we are going to tackle some of those. And our hope is that we lighten the load for you. We shine a light on what you maybe have been believing and not aware of, and that we bring truth. Erica has wonderful things to say to encourage your mom heart today. So let's get right to it. Here we go. Erica, welcome to the Don't Mom Alone podcast.
Well, thank you, Heather. I am so, so happy to be here.
My best friend growing up was named Erica.
No way. Mm-hmm.
I'm a big fan.
That's so fun. It's not really that common. Was it a C or a K?
Not in your age group, but in my age group, there were some Ericas out there.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Heather's.
A C or a K.
She did have a K. I know.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That's fair. We won't knock her too much.
Oh my goodness. Well, it is a delight to get to have you on the show. And y'all, we're gonna, you know, bring some freedom, don't you think?
I sure hope so.
Bring some freedom to some moms. Erica has a new book called That's Just Not True, How to Replace the Lies You Didn't Know You Believed with God's Unchanging Truth. And specifically, moms, our minds can be a battleground and the enemy can have a heyday. And the whole like mental load of motherhood that everybody's talking about, I think a lot of it is these false beliefs and inner narratives that we're carrying that are not true and take up way too much of our energy. And so let's talk about that. Let's talk about, for you, you're a mom of, do we say three? We say three.
I think so. I had that moment where I was like, do I update my Instagram bio now?
Is it
like
two
now
and
am
a half?
I a mom of three?
No.
Is it?
It's a full human. It's a
it
full
is a full human. It's a mom of three. So
I always tell my friends that are pregnant, I'm like, you're growing a brain. This is a bit, you need to take a nap. You need to eat some meat. You need to, you're growing a brain. Yeah. So you have two. Tell us about your family.
I do. I have a 6 3/4, about to be 7-year-old, depending on when this airs. She's very excited about this. So we all know in, you know, very soon she will be seven. So I have a 7-year-old daughter, and then my son just turned 2 in July, and I am currently expecting our third. So I'm due in the beginning of 2026. And then I also have a husband and 2 cats and a labradoodle and a fish, but it's a zoo, truly.
So relatable. Lots of moms listening in similar stage that you're in. And so talk to us, like, as a mom or even an author of this book, when did you become aware that there is a lot going on in your head that is not helpful and is not true?
Oh, I think a part of me has always been aware because I've always been an overthinker, always been a little bit more on the anxious side, like always been someone who liked to white knuckle the wheel through my own life, like to, you know, I think I was a very stereotypical overachiever growing up, I think you could say. So like, I lived a lot of my life feeling like if I showed up a certain way and if I worked a certain way, I would achieve X result. So that worked for me until it didn't. And like my foray into motherhood, which chapter one kicks off with that, spoiler alert, but my foray into motherhood really rocked rocked that. It had been rocked before, but it was kind of the first time where it was completely turned on its head, where it's like, spoiler alert, you can do everything right, quote unquote, by the book, and it can go absolutely not according to anybody's plan except God's. And you're just going to have to kind of get through it with him. So that was kind of one of the bigger times where I had to really start thinking, okay, wait, what actually are my thoughts here? And how do I actually unpack this and process this? Because now I have to unpack this and process this, because it kind of put the light on a lot of, you know, not healthy and ultimately not true things that I realized I was believing. And I feel like it's just kind of, it kind of keeps going, you know, like the more you dive into just real life with God, and the more you're open and honest and vulnerable and willing to kind of look at the thoughts that are actually coming through your brain and turn them over and go like, what actually do I think here? And is this what God says? And is this what I should be thinking? And is this what I want my children to be thinking? You kind of start to, you know, it starts to unravel a little bit. And I think God does that very gently and graciously, where he won't just overwhelm you with like, here's everything that you're thinking and that's not good for you. It'll be like, yeah, here's the nugget. Like, process this for a little bit. You're going to need to process this one for a bit. And then I'll give you the next one at your next quarter life crisis. And then yeah, you can process that one too. So it builds in time.
So yours was a little bit of like, a crisis happened. My formula doesn't work. Life isn't in my control like I thought. You know, that's that belief. Like, and you said, it sounds like you are processing it with God. Like, this next thought is coming to your mind, and then he's gracious to give you the next one. Do you have like a ritual time that you're processing this with God, or it's literally like as you go throughout the day, or our one time we think is in the shower sometimes, like you're just in the shower and you're made aware? What is your system? Because I personally think moms are going and blowing, and until they hit crisis, they're not as aware of their thoughts. So is there like any kind of system you have or you would suggest for us even becoming aware of our beliefs?
I don't have a formulaic system, I would say, because I feel like as moms especially, it can be hard to add another to-do to our list. Yep. Of like, okay, now fold the laundry and wipe everybody's faces and butts, and also now pray, like check. So I think for me, motherhood has made me so much more aware of the in-between moments and the in-between opportunities to make my life a prayer, in the sense of, it doesn't have to be this like sit down, polished, beautiful, quiet time with like meditative music before the children arise for the day with my warm coffee. Like, no, my coffee's in the microwave 14 times and Bluey's on in the background and people are screaming and like launching things from one room to the next. And it's in those moments where I'm intentional, or I try to be intentional about, I'm going to take a deep breath now and I'm going to say, Jesus, please be with me, because I need you with me right now. Like, please be with me in the next moment. And that's just kind of how I think I've just deepened in my level of intimacy with God in this season because of that, because I show up so much more, honestly, I show up so much more vulnerably, like, okay, God, I just yelled at my daughter and I didn't want to do that. And I know you saw it because you were with me there too, but now I'm going to need some grace in this moment to now get to the next. And it's in those moments I've also started to hear his voice or sense his presence more and more. Because I'm like, okay, right now in this moment, I need something to bring me to the next moment. And then that, when you feel that change in your heart, or you feel the little sense of peace, or just like the little grace, or even just the little thought, like, okay, go to her, just repair it now. Like, you get the little tiny beats where you feel like, okay, he's literally with me right now. He just gave me a little nudge, like, got it.
Yeah. And it's good to hear, like, in the season you're in, like what you described, I remember those days. Like, that's the real, yeah, real. And that's, yeah, for the mom who's listening in that stage. And like, now I'm in the stage where they all left for school and I'm sitting on the couch and I can have my journal out and have the fire on and have a little moment with God. And I can say, Lord, bring to mind things that I'm believing that are not true, and just sit with him and process. I remember doing a 21-day brain detox. Have you heard of this?
Ooh, no, I have not.
Dr. Carolyn Leaf. I don't even know if she's legit. Okay, y'all. I don't even know. She could be a heretic. I don't even know. Okay, so don't like DM me. Oh, she doesn't believe in Jesus. I don't know. But all I know is that the process was to sit down with a journal and be like, write down different things you thought from the previous day.
Mm.
And then narrow in on one of them. And it was amazing. I was like, how am I going to remember things I thought from the previous day? Oh, they come up.
Uh-huh.
Things like, I'm missing out, which I know we've been talking about FOMO for, what, 5 years now, 6 years now. But for me in that time, it was like, I'm missing out. And it's like, God, tell me more about this. What am I not believing when I'm believing this? So like just sitting in that of recognizing I am operating from this place that I'm missing out with, you know, as you see with this third kid, your friends who just had two, they're going to like start hanging out and getting lunch once the second one starts going to kindergarten, or maybe even see that already, like you having a six-year-old, like your friends are kidless during the day. And so they're going to get together. And I just kept having kids. And I was like, I'm missing out because they're all getting together and I'm not. And the truth he gave me was, if you're in the middle of my will, you're never missing out.
Yep.
Which surprised me. I literally wouldn't have, I would haven't read a verse that's that specific about that thing. But when I just sat with God and said, I feel like I'm missing out. Give me a truth I can believe instead. And he said that if you're in the middle of my will, you're never missing out. I had something new to think instead of the lie. And so your book is just chapter after chapter of these, like I'll list some of them. I missed my shot. I can manifest my dream. If I let it be, it'll figure itself out, which is a funny one. It's happening for everyone but me. That's kind of the missing out. The rejection is failure. My kids are my life now. That's a whole thing. I just need a little break, then I'll be fine. I'm stuck. I'll be happy when. Yeah. These, like, moms, if you're listening, maybe one of those. If I'm not hustling, I'm lazy. Woof. Woof. I can do anything. But that doesn't seem so bad, that one, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. There's the thing that I kind of preface people with this is you have to be willing to pick it up with an open mind because some of them might step on your toes a little bit because they sound good at first glance.
Yep.
And that – but this is the thing. This like if Eve thought the apple was bad, she wouldn't have taken it. You know, like it's – that's what the devil does is he takes what is good and twists it. So just some enough. Of these – twist it just enough that you'll take a bite. So it's not necessarily that everything about it is bad. It's not even necessarily that everything about it is a lie, but a half truth is still a lie. So if it's twisted just enough to make it not actually true, then it is a lie. So some of it, it might, this is where, and that's why I really wanted to unpack so many of them biblically, because you don't necessarily, you could be living your entire life thinking that these things are good because a lot of these things society tells us are good. Like this, I can do anything in particular. That one really stemmed for me in my motherhood journey because it was part of an affirmation I was saying with my daughter every day before preschool. And she was so cute. She was three. So like and every single day we would say, I am strong. I am smart. I am brave. I am kind. I am important and I can do anything. And you could just picture like a little three-year-old being like, I can do anything. Everyone's like, oh my God, bless her heart. You sure can, child. Like, and I had a point of conviction on that one day because with her backstory, she was born at 32 weeks. So she was a preemie. She was 3 pounds, 0.1 ounces when she was born. And she was in the NICU for 73 days. She had a feeding tube for, 9 months after that? So not without complications. And it was something where the older she gets, especially, I've always tried to instill in her, like, mommy will always tell you the truth because there will be a whole lot of experts in elementary school, right? And I'm going to need you to verify those experts' opinions with your mother because some of them might not be where we want there. And it really got me thinking like, wait, we're ending every single morning and sending her out with this idea that she can do anything. And what if she can't? Mm-hmm. Is that a bad thing? Because I believe that every part of her story, God knew and God wrote in advance. And it set me down the rabbit hole where I was like, wait a minute, I don't think not only, I mean, I can't do anything, and I don't actually know if that's a bad thing, because I don't actually know if that's what God is asking of me. God wasn't like, Erica, you can do anything. But I know there were specific things probably that he was like, you are going to be maybe a little bit more gifted in this area. And the next girl's going to be gifted in this area, because I need all of them to work together to be the body of Christ. And it like I mentioned this in the book in Romans 12, when actually he's likening the human body to the body of Christ. And that really made me laugh, because I'm like, we can go all head, shoulders, knees, and toes with it. Because if you think about it so practically, there is no part in your body that is like interchangeable with other parts. They are all important, all serve a unique purpose, all were made by God to be very important and useful in the functioning of your everyday life. How are we not the same? You know, like my gifts are going to be different than yours, and it's going to be different than the next girl listening. And that's so intentional and beautiful on God's part, because he doesn't want us all to be able to do anything and everything. And also, what a gift, because holy moly, that would be so overwhelming if you could truly do literally anything on planet Earth. Like, how would you pick? There are so many things. Like, so.
Well, and it's like, what is it? 12 step. It's the first thing. It's like, I'm limited. That's the first step.
And it's reframing it like, you know what? That's not a bad thing.
No, it's literally embracing my limitedness. And even in one of the Beatitudes, it's like, I am poor in spirit. I am limited. And the gift of that, Jesus says, is you will get the whole earth. Because you're poor in spirit, you're going to get everything. You have nothing. You're limited. You can't do everything, but you're going to get everything. It's like, can we trust God in that? Because that's the piece. And I love what you say to her now. Can you say your morning mantra now?
What we say now? Yeah. I didn't make this up. I want to caveat it. I think the Bethkes started this, and then I saw a friend who adapted it from that. It's like whisper down the alley of morning affirmations. So feel free to take
it. Telephone game going. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Like it's like telephone. So people can adapt it and change it however you want. But we say, I'm not what I do. I'm not what I have. I'm not what other people say about me. God knows me. He chose me, and nothing can take that away from me. I don't need to hurry, and I don't need to worry. And then the last line, we freestyle that. We're like, I'm going to have a great day in first grade. Like, it's going to be the greatest day ever. We say whatever we kind of need to kick off the final thing. But I wanted to shift it where I'm like, you know what? The pressure is actually not all on you right now. Mm-hmm. And I think that's where so much of our culture is failing us, is we say these things to each other that are good-hearted and good intention and coming from this good place of like empowerment. Let's lift each other up. But man, that's a lot of pressure to like do anything and to, oh, you're not going to fail or whatever the case might be.
I just remember watching it with moms in your exact season of getting that message that you all have to do everything, like raise the young kids, have the book, have the business, have the nonprofit, have the merchandise line. Like, and I'm like, oh, y'all, that's too much. Like,
it's a lot.
It's too much. And if that's what the Lord's assigned to you, that's what the Lord's assigned to you. But don't feel like you have to, or that if it's hard, it's because something's wrong in you. Like, that's, I don't know if you see that with your friends or if they feel that pressure, but I don't know that we had that level of pressure when I had young kids that I'm seeing moms have now.
I don't know if we had people calling out that it was pressure. That's, I think, the thing too. It's like it just became so normalized where if you felt like it was hard, you almost didn't want to vocalize that it felt hard, because you were like, no, 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 I should be able to figure this out because God wouldn't give me more than I could handle, right?
Right.
Like,
that's a whole chapter. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's a whole chapter too. Like you just think like, oh, I should be able to handle this because it's come across my path, which must mean that it's what God has for me, which means if it feels hard or if I feel like I can't do it, then something's wrong with me.
Yeah.
When really that's just not true. No pun intended.
Yeah. I've noticed too, like for a season, maybe between you and me, moms also felt the pressure that it had to look good. Do you still feel that pressure? Or like I see less pictures of kids online. Either their faces are blurred or they're turned away from the camera, it's almost like the pressure is, don't use social media to show off your kids. Do you feel that? Is it doing the, is there a flip?
I feel like
I'm totally off base from our book convo, but I just was thinking about that.
Oh, no, that's fine. No, that's really interesting. I feel like there's almost a weird sense. There's this like idea of authenticity on social media, which is, we like talked about this real briefly before we hit record, in the sense of people want messy, but they also want it to be kind of like a curated messy, where it's like you can cry on camera, but it's still like sort of aesthetic, like, which is to me kind of strange. Like it's,
or like everything's so bad. And it's like, if that's her bad, mine is like way worse.
Right. But it's like, so people are like peeling back the curtain, but it's still a curated peeling back of the curtain.
Yeah.
So it kind of throws off your mindset because you're like, wait, it's authentic, but you're still planning every step of what you're filming or editing or recording or shooting. So it throws me off because I'm like, that's a really interesting like mindset to be in, where you're like, it can't look too perfect where you tried, but it also can't look like, it can't cross the line into, oh, she's a slob and doesn't take care of her family. So it has to be like just messy like enough CPS, to be relatable, where it's like, oh, she's just like me, and not like shameful, like, oh, I have to call CPS on you. Like it's like a very weird toe to walk, where you're like, is this just relatable enough or is this too bad? And that
so you feel that tension. You feel that as someone who creates.
Yeah, I would say so. Mm-hmm.
This episode is sponsored by Green Chef. Now, I know Jim Gaffigan says it's not a competition, but truly, fall is my favorite season. Anybody else? In Texas, we are still waiting for fall to get here. We really want the crisp air and the cozy sweaters and all the yummy, warm flavors that fall brings that are so comforting. It's also a great time to reset and bring your healthy habits into focus. And as moms with back-to-school busyness, and we know the October, November slide into holidays is so, so, so busy, I love that meal plans help support me, make sure we get dinner on the table, we have family dinners, and with Green Chef, you're gonna get clean eating with your meal kit because they make sure, one, that all of the recipes feature fresh, organic, seasonal produce. They also make sure the protein is 100% responsibly sourced. You're gonna find that with their 80 plus dietitian approved weekly meal options, they're gonna make it easy to find meals that fit your lifestyle. So my preventative cardiologist suggested I eat a Mediterranean diet, and they have that at Green Chef. They also have gluten-free, plant-based, protein-heavy, gut and brain health, and calorie-smart choices too. The recipes change every week. You can even have week-to-week flexibility if your schedule changes and maybe you're out of town. You can adjust the plan to match your mood, your schedule. They even have new heat and eat meals that are ready in just 3 minutes. You get a healthy, wholesome meal in just 3 minutes. They have ingredients. You can get salads ready in 5 minutes, protein-filled breakfasts, nutrient-rich smoothies, all of that to meet your nutritional needs and make your life a little easier. I use it. I think you should to make this fall your healthiest yet with Green Chef. Head to greenchef.com/50alone, and it's the number 50, 50 alone. Use the code 50 alone to get 50% off your first month, then 20% off for 2 months with free shipping. That's code 50 alone at greenchef.com/50alone. Okay, let's talk through the one, my kids are my life now, because that one stuck out to me when we're talking about mom beliefs. I deal with it a lot now with moms who have teens or who are teens are going off to college. This belief really hits hard when they're gone or out of your ability to be in their life in the same way.
Yeah.
So yeah. Why not deal with it early? That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So how did this hit you personally, or you have a story you want to share with everybody?
This, I think for me, started by observing a lot of how other moms around me were talking about motherhood. And Some of their kids were around the same age as mine. Some were a little bit older. But I got this overwhelming sense of negativity. Like it was a burden, or like it was this, oh, of course I can't do that. Like, I have kids, or like, nah, who could do that? Who has the time? Kids. Like, where I was like, oh, like, this is, our kids are all holding us back apparently from everything, because it was just so negative. Mm-hmm. And that really struck me, because I was like, wow, the devil really wants to twist the gift of motherhood into a burden. And like, he's doing it, because there's a lot of moms walking.
Or an idol.
Yeah.
That's the like other extreme of that.
Yes. You're absolutely right. There's nuance here. Mm-hmm. There's like two different ends where it's like, on the one hand, it's women who are using our kids as excuses as to why we can't with everything. Yep. Mm-hmm. And it's like, well, no, for everything from, you know, I can't go on that vacation, or I can't do that thing for me, to like, oh, I can't wear a tube top because I'm a mother. Like, it runs the gamut completely to like serious and things where you're like, girl, what? Come on.
Like self-limiting, like counting themselves out. Yeah.
Absolutely. Where it's like, no, because, but then I think where it becomes dangerous is we start to inadvertently or subconsciously resent our kids because of this. Like, it's not something I think that we're doing on purpose. And I think it's so easy to slip into this language, because I've experienced this myself too. Like, you're in a group of moms, you're at a sporting event, whatever, and it becomes like, what's the hardship that you're dealing with your children? And everyone just kind of throws it in.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And there's been times where I've 100% been guilty of that, and I walked away and I didn't feel great, because I was like, oh, I just kind of threw my kid under the bus. Like, I actually like doing that with her. Like, why would I say that? Like, and I had to start paying attention to, oh, this happens a lot where it becomes like, kids. And then sooner or later, I think you wake up and you realize you're not doing the things that you once loved doing, or you're not doing the things that you wish you could be doing as an individual, not just as the mother of a household. And then you kind of have like this blame attached to it of like, it's because of my kids, or like, it's their fault. And so that's this chapter in particular, it's meant to take the shame off. Like, it is absolutely not a shame on you thing. It's to shed light on that so that you can go, no. Like, you're not giving yourself enough credit for how hard motherhood is in the first place. And if you can do all of the things that you've probably already done and are still continuing to do to keep all of these little people alive, first of all, let alone thriving, you're doing a lot better than you think you are. And you can probably do a lot more than you think you can as a mom. Yeah. So let's dig a little bit deeper there and like find the lie beneath the lie as to why you think you can't do this, because there's probably a way. And then that's kind of where we fall into like being a mommy martyr, or like putting everything into your kids because you're getting some sense of worth, or your identity is like wrapped up in that now. And that's like where you said, then what happens when they leave the house? Or then you're like, wait, who am I now? What am I doing? Like,
or even when they start going to school, I've seen that, like moms in the middle of motherhood where they're like, okay, I know I'm needed because I still make dinners and I clean up the house and I do laundry and I have this other side gig, but like, what am I about? Like, what is my purpose? Is this – so yeah, all of that processing. And then it sounds to me, what you're kind of hitting on a little bit too, is with that mommy martyrdom, is this idea of like, am I trusting God? Like, are they his kids? Or are they like all up to me, my full responsibility? I am like every second of every day, because I've just seen the gift of having watched moms over the years and doing it different versions, and like their kids are now in college and I'm watching. And it is so amazing. The moms who, let's say I have mom friends who are OB-GYNs and ER docs, and the ER doc is even homeschooled at one time. Like, but the best season of her motherhood is when she released that it was all up to her. She embraced all of who she was. She's still like so connected with her kids, great relationship with them, but they are not her whole life. She is showing them she loves music. She's been writing songs. She like the gift of you to your kids when the focus is so on them and making them happy and making them content and turning them into something, it's like they miss out on the gift of watching you thrive in your giftedness and be a whole person. And that's more interesting to connect to when they don't even know who you are and what you like. How can they connect to you?
Yeah.
Like, they don't even know what kind of music you like because you've never played your music. You're only playing their music. You're only playing, like, I don't know. Those are my thoughts having watched. I'm like, oh, it's so interesting because I could totally fall into my kids are my life now and I can't do X, Y, and Z because I got to make sure we stay on their nap time schedule, or I got to make sure we never leave them at home with grandparents, or, you know, and go on that couple's anyway.
And I think we do it because, again, we our heart's in the right place. We have this fear of, like, making it about us or being selfish, like as if that's something that we have to do. But something that I say in the book is, like, it's even more admirable to care so much about your kids that you care even more intentionally for you so that they get the best of you and not a shell of you.
Yep.
And, like, that's what moms that need to hear. Like,
Erica, right? Put, like, that on a shirt.
But that's the thing. Like, we end up at this point where we're like a shell of our past selves. Like, oh, if only you knew mommy before I had kids. And it's like, but what a gift it would be for them to know that, like you just said, like, what a gift it would be for them to know the music that lights you up too, or the hobbies that you loved and all of those things. Like, that's going to teach them how to live a good life too. And for as much as this is their childhood, it's also your motherhood. Like, this is the first time you're going through it too, this thing called life. So it's not like you got to this point where you're like, okay, I've lived enough. Now we're going to pass the torch and I don't have to live anymore because it's just all going to go into them. Like, it's going to help them to see you pursuing all of the goodness and abundance and fullness in this life that, spoiler alert, God has and wants for you too, the same way it is that you're trying to teach them and raise them up in that as well.
Freedom, y'all, freedom. This episode is sponsored by Thrive Cosmetics. Okay, so when fall comes, I don't know if you have your traditions, things you get out for fall. For me, I don't want to store a bunch of things that go with a season. So I usually just head over to Trader Joe's, grab a couple pumpkins to decorate around the house. Maybe a mom, not so good at keeping those things alive, but anywho, I do feel like getting a good pumpkin candle makes everything feel a little more cozy. And maybe you're the type of person that, with the season changing, you change up your makeup look. I tend to just stick with what I know, and that is great products from Thrive Cosmetics. I love that they are the unicorn of products. One, they're clean. Two, they give back to great communities. And three, they work. Let's talk about Thrive Cosmetics giving back, because for every product you purchase, Thrive Cosmetics donates products and funds to help communities thrive, thus the name. They've given over $150 million in product and cash donations to 600 different giving partners. So your purchase really does fuel real impact. And I love that with everyday beauty comes amazing purpose. Now let's talk about these products that I love. Huge, huge fan of their Liquid Lash Extensions mascara. If you haven't tried it yet, I don't know why. It's a vegan tubing mascara with over 40,000 five-star reviews. They have 6 different shades, and I find that I start my day, I put it on, and it lasts all day. It doesn't clump or smudge or flake, which other mascaras do on me, because it creates a tube around each lash. That also makes my lash look longer because of that wrapping around, and because it comes off so easily, it just slides off with warm water. That little tube comes right off my lash. I'm not having to yank it, and so they don't break. And also, they have ingredients that nourish my lashes, so they do actually grow longer and stay stronger and are healthier looking over time. So complete your fall look. Go to thrivecosmetics.com/DMA for an exclusive offer of 20% off your first order. That's Thrive Cosmetics, CauseMetics.com/DMA. This episode is sponsored by Voteberg Music Academy. The Voteberg method approaches music differently. With by-ear training and song-based learning, your child would be begging to play their instrument more. Students are self-motivated by earning badges mailed to their doorstep, participating in the monthly online student showcase, and seeing dozens of other students play with their siblings and friends in the Voteberg Music Academy community. At Vogtberg Music Academy, you aren't on your own. Each student has 24/7 access to their instructor and receives personalized feedback on live coaching calls, which allows students to learn faster and easier. Use my code DON'TMOMALONE and for less than $30, join thousands of other Christian families learning to play together with the leader of online music lessons, VogtbergMusicAcademy.com. With new intermediate and advanced piano, ukulele, fiddle, and guitar courses, Vogtberg Music Academy is your one-stop shop. From your family first unboxing your instruments to playing for worship, writing music, or playing in a family band, the Vogtberg family loves playing music together, and they want to help you bring the gift of music into your home in an affordable, efficient, and family-centered way. This month, use my code DON'TMOMALONE to get that 20% off each month you're subscribed. Get 20% off the proprietary Vogtberg Method experience where siblings can share lessons and learn music in a way they'll never forget, even when the lessons stop. I'm like looking at all of these and I want to have a conversation about every single one of them. That's the problem. When you
That's
think
a good
about,
problem. I like that.
I know. When you think about these false beliefs or lies, is there one that stands out to you that you like want to make sure moms hear?
Right off the top of my head is this one. And this is one that I feel like will step on people's toes.
Hey, it's okay.
You know, a lot of them might. So it's it, okay. But it needs to be said. So we're just going to say it. I am enough. And I say this because I think, at least for me as a mom, this is something where if I'm really being honest with it at the end of the day, it's like I just want someone to be like, you're enough, Erica. Like you did all the things. You did enough laundry and you did enough for your job and you did enough for your husband and you did enough for your household. And congratulations, here's your gold star. Enough. Wake up again and do it all again tomorrow.
Like it's this great checklist and you did it all.
Yeah. Okay. And I think what a lot of moms need to hear is it's actually not your job to be enough. Like, because what society wants to tell you is like, yes, you are enough. And like, regardless of anything you do or whatever, like you're enough, whatever. But I think a lot of us, our heads hit the pillow at night and that still doesn't sit well because we're like, still striving. We're still trying.
We can't integrate it. Like,
yes.
It's like the truth, that statement, I won't say it's a truth, that statement doesn't land.
Right.
Because we know our own heart.
Because we know we're not. Like, we know that we see.
Yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And it's like, enough is not this final destination. It's not this finished product. Like, we're always – it's a different measuring cup for everybody. Every day is going to look different. So what's enough on Tuesday is going to be different than what's enough on Saturday. It's going to be what's different than what's enough for her, for me, for my husband.
Enough for what?
Yes, exactly.
That's the other thing. Like enough for what? Enough to be happy, enough to thrive is your podcast. Enough to like, what is the measurement? Like, what are we measuring?
Yeah.
Enough of.
It's like moms need to know, like, it's not your job to be enough. I use this example in the book, which maybe might land with some moms if you also have this book on your shelf at home for your children, because it's one of my favorites to read to my children. And it's called You Are Special by Max Licato.
Heart.
Oh yeah. Like first time I read it was like ugly crying over my daughter's shoulder. Like
all of the performers and achievers love this book. Yeah.
Yes. Uh-huh. This is like, oh, it hits the field. If you don't have it, like get it immediately. If not for your children's bookshelf, just for your own. Cause you'll read it and you'll be like, wait, this is speaking to my soul. It is really, really good. And I mean, read the whole thing for, you know, context, but, by the end, these like wooden people realize they live in this society where they're like awarding each other gold stars if you're good and gray dots if you're not so good. And there's like one character in particular and she has no stickers at all. And the main character is like fascinated by this. He's like, how do you have no stickers? And she's like, well, I go and I sit at the feet of the woodmaker every single day. And like I talk to him and he takes my stickers off.
The stickers don't stick. That's what I remember.
The stickers don't stick. Exactly. Don't and I'm stick. Like, that is it. Like, that's what we're missing. Even as much as we are, if we're saying, oh, you are enough, there's still some part of our brain that wants that gold sticker. Like, we still want the star that's like, you did it. you're enough, you're validated. And that's not the point. Like, the point is that you don't care about the stickers, whether they're gold stars or gray dots. You are stickerless because it's not your job to be the one with the stickers. Like, that was the whole point of why Jesus died on the cross for us. Like, Jesus is enough. And if you can think of it like that, like, hey, it's actually not my job to be enough because somebody else literally hung on a cross to be enough instead. Like, is that enough for you? Because if so, you could be living and thinking totally differently. Like, you, the pressure's off, girl. Like, you don't need to be everything for everybody. And I think moms need to hear that, because we, even unintentionally, even subconsciously, it's so easy to slip into, we try to be enough for everybody. And that, and usually it's at the expense of ourselves. Usually we're enough for our spouse, and we're enough for our kids, and we're enough for everyone in PTA and the teachers, and then we're not enough for ourselves. Like, it is a rabbit hole we fall down, and we're just asking ourselves the wrong question. And in doing so, it's like take the, that's where the taking the pressure off. It's not like your responsibilities are going to be gone. It's not like you're still going to have laundry forever and ever. Amen. Like, it's there. You'll never be done. No one's ever going to be like, you've done enough laundry. Congratulations. But it at least makes you enjoy your life a little bit more, and you get to step into a little bit more abundance, and you don't have to feel like every day is this like, oh, okay, I got to do it all over again and try and try. And it's like, you're tired. We're all tired. And it's, you can hang that up for, you can hang that up for a little bit.
It makes me think, like, are we performing to be loved? Or are we loved and out of that we're doing all the things? It's from love we're, you know, loving others. It's like that character. I think her name was Lucy, maybe? I don't know.
Lucia.
It was something. Lucia.
Yep, I think so.
Light is what it made me think of. It's like thinking of sitting at the foot of our maker who made us and seeing our worth from his eyes as we're just sitting there. Like, I tell people all the time, it's like the being.
Yeah.
Without doing anything. Like, if you are fully paralyzed, you're in a hospital bed, you are still fully loved, fully known, and enough. It's like, well, if that's true, then none of your doing is earning your enoughness. Like, it's that being, and that being with God, to be reminded, like, can I sit in his presence, even if it's in the midst of chaos, even if Bluey's on or whatever show is now popular? Can I sit in that enoughness of how he sees me? And man.
Yeah. I separate enough from worthy, because at least for me, that was like, enough is just always associated with like a measuring cup.
Performance.
Or like,
yeah.
There's something that you're trying to reach to be told like, that's enough. And how that's always changing. And it's that was really what I think was messing with my mind. Until I was able to sit with it and go, no, but like, Jesus thought you were worthy. And there's no, that's not, that word doesn't have any sort of measurement attached to it. Like, it's, you're worthy now, you're worthy on your worst day, you're worthy on your best day. And that is not something that's going to fluctuate depending on the day of the week or how you're feeling or how anyone else is feeling. You just are. So it's sit, that lands a little bit better for me.
I think before we have to sign off, I'd love to spend a second talking with a mom about I'll be happy when, because I think that is a belief we get into as moms. Like, I'll be happy when they're this age, or I'll be happy when we move to a house that has this, or I'll happy when I have this amount of money, or like, name the thing. But contentment for me is challenge. Maybe for other moms, y'all got it figured out, but I don't know. I know for me that is a constant false belief I have.
Yeah. Honestly, if we're being honest, I feel like that's a false belief for a lot of people, because it's such an easy trap to fall into, because it's so, part of this is like, it's not all our fault. I think social media does us dirty on this, because you're scrolling and you're like, oh, that must be nice. Oh, that must be nice.
We actually sell a house that says must be nice on it. We have a hat. Sorry, I said house. We have a hat that says must be nice. My other podcast, because it's true. It's like, must be nice. Going to Italy with your family must be nice. Getting a new whatever. Yeah.
And it's like this big fill in the blank of like, must be nice when it's this.
with all your kids are healthy and you get a baby born on their due date. Must be nice.
Must be nice.
Your child doesn't have a feeding tube. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And it's, I think that we've forgotten that joy is not something that is attached or conditional on any earthly anything. So the joy of the Lord, the fruit of the Holy Spirit, that is a gift freely given to us regardless of what house you were raised in, how much money you have, what house you live in now, what color your fence is, like how much money your husband makes, literally fill in the blank. It's any of it. And it's like we've confused joy and happiness in that way because there are some earthly things that people will say, well, that would make me happy. Like, sure, it might make you happy for a moment, but will it keep making you happy over and over again? Or in 5 years from now, is the bar going to be raised to the next thing? And yep. Now it's bigger stakes and it's a bigger yard at the bigger, you know, the bigger neighborhood and the bigger price tag and the bigger vacation. It's like, it's an endless pursuit, the pursuit of happiness, mm-hmm. right? So it's really challenging us to like take that away. And it's like, actually, God's gifts for you are not conditional on any sort of earthly anything. So if that truth is what we believe, because that's what he says and that's what he has for us, then that means that joy is available to you like right here, mm-hmm. right now, even if you're looking around and you're like, I hate my house. And even if you're looking around and you're like, I hate my job. I hate this.
I'm ready to stop changing diapers. When can everybody right. be potty trained? When everybody's potty like, trained, then I'll be happy. When everybody's yes. not napping anymore or yeah. Mm-hmm. Whatever stage you're ready to be at next. With
any
motherhood.
Stage, mm-hmm. any season. Mm-hmm. Like he's not holding it out for you for later. Mm-hmm. He has it for yeah. you right now. And how it looks and feels right now may look and feel a little bit different than how it will look and feel in later seasons, but he has it for you. So it's really just challenging us to like look for it because otherwise you're going to miss it. Otherwise you're going to go through each of these seasons and stages and whatever, and you're probably going to feel sad or bitter or jealous or just really discontent because you think that everybody else has it but you, or like you're royally missing out on something. And sometimes we just have to open our eyes to like see it in our life now and ask for mm-hmm. some humility and grace to be mm-hmm. shown like, hey, this is where it is for you right now. Like it's in this. Look at it a little bit differently. Like you're looking at the wrong side of it, or like you're looking at the wrong – you got to like turn it over and see the other piece because it's there. You're just mm-hmm. looking at it. You just got to look at it in a little bit of a different way. And then your whole everything is going to start to feel a little bit different. Like it will still be hard. It still might not be ideal. It still might be the same as what's on your Pinterest board. But you'll get a whole new different sense of satisfaction and contentment mm-hmm. and fulfillment in your own life. And honestly, you will start to feel joy more if you are actively accepting it where it comes in your life as it is right now and looking for it in your life right now instead of just thinking that it's something that like is only destined for you then later in a different timeline or in a different house or whatever.
Yeah. It's bringing to mind like back when I have four boys. I don't know if I told you this. I have four.
Bless
you. They're very loud. They're very loud. And I remember I'll be happy when we have peace. I'll be happy when they're quiet, you know, like thinking that. And this one moment I was like, wait, they're just laughing. Can I take a second and like pull back? And yes, it's chaotic and yes, it's crazy, but like they're having a really good time. There's joy abounding and I'm just wanting peace and quiet. And while my soul does need that a lot and I need to make space for that, it was really me just like flipping a switch to say, oh, there is a lot of joy right here and I'm missing it because I'm wishing for something else. And,
yeah.
or even like, I mean, dinner last night, they're all like some of the things teenage boys say. It's like a frat house. Okay. Like, and my, you know, I could clutch my pearls constantly, like don't say that. Oh my gosh, you can't say that. And I had to like pull back and be like, they're really connecting right now. Like higher purpose, higher joy. I have joy that my boys all want to be together. And maybe they're not joking in a way that I see is appropriate, quote unquote. But me jumping in and be like, guys, stop talking about that. Pure, lovely, kind is actually taking away this other thing. Anyway, that's personally for me, like exactly what you're saying. Like, how can I find joy in this moment instead of imagined happiness in some other imagined scenario?
You know? Yeah. Because we're not promised happiness, but we're promised joy. So it's not like exactly. I think it's the truth is that it's already there and it's kind of on you to just find it and look for it.
Say, God, show it to me. Like,
show it literally. Like, because that's the truth.
You're in me. This is one of your fruit. Come on, bring it up. Oh, Erica. Well, the good news is Erica has a podcast called The Thrive Podcast. So you can keep listening to her over there because. Like I always tell y'all, I can't not cover all the things in a short episode. But what a delight to get to meet you.
Likewise.
So excited for you and your new baby that will be here next year and your new other baby, your book, That's Just Not True. Y'all check it out. Links in the show notes. Thank you for joining me so much.
Thank you for having me.
Okay, y'all. Thanks for joining me and Erica. I am curious in our group discussion questions for our podcast clubs. One of the questions my VA, Megan, came up with is which of these lies that Erica lists out stands out to you most and why? Is it I missed my shot? I can manifest my dream life. If I let it be, it'll figure itself out. It's happening for everyone but me. The rejection is failure. My kids are my life now. I'm stuck. I'll be happy when. If I'm not hustling, I'm lazy. Which of those kind of stood out to you? And can you bring that to God and kind of ask him to replace it with a truth? Because I know the Holy Spirit will bring to mind what is true, especially when we have spent time in his word or know his word and how his voice sounds. So I'm going to pray over us. Lord, I thank you for Erica. I thank you for this book. I pray that it gets to the women who need to read it. I pray over whoever's listening. Lord, may she make the time to reflect on what tape is playing in her head? What messages is she giving herself that are not from you, that she is believing about maybe her value, her worth, her identity, how she spends her time that is not from you, God? And I pray, Lord, you would bring to mind what is true for her and that you would replace that when the old tape wants to play, that you can give her a new tape and new truth. Lord, I pray that as moms, we wouldn't let the enemy come in and kind of steal the good that is happening right in front of us, the gratitude and the joy we could experience right in front of us because we're weighed down by all the burdens of being more and all the comparison and all of the ways that it seems other moms are getting it right and we're missing the mark. And I just pray over the mom who's listening that she could just sit in your delight, that she could see her life with your eyes and that you would kind of push back all of those layers of pressure that are either being put on her or that she's taking in. And Lord, I just pray over these kids. I pray against any of these lies getting to them and in a world that is just saying, be bigger, be louder, be stronger, that they could rest in you and who you say they are. In Jesus' name, amen. Make sure you do check out the show notes because there's links to Erica's book and also the You Are Special book we talked about by Max Lucado and all of Erica's places where you can find her. All right, I'll see you back here next week. We're going to have a great conversation with someone from The Pour Over. How do we discuss news with our kids? I'll meet you back here. Okay, bye.
I hope you enjoyed this episode of the Don't Mom Alone podcast. If you're wanting to connect with more people and more resources to help remind you that you're not alone, head over to don'tmomalone.com. That's where you'll also find show notes with any links mentioned by our guests. Most importantly, I want you to know the good news, the great news that you're not alone because God has promised to always be with you. With faith in Jesus Christ, the one who died for you and rose again, Jesus said when he left, he was going to leave a helper, a comforter, to be with us. God in us. Moms, that's superpower. So while you're washing dishes at your kitchen sink, while you're driving to and from work, while you're feeding that baby late into the night, while you're cleaning sticky floors, God promises to be just as present with you as when you're worshiping in a church pew. As it says in Zephaniah 3:17, the Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save. He takes great delight in you. He will quiet you with his love, and he will rejoice over you with singing. Now that's good news. Have a great day.